Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
This headline podcast is presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks.
Breaking news from The Athletic.
Carlos Rodon threw the 20th no-hitter in White Sox history 5 days after Joe Musgrove tossed the Padres' first ever no-hitter. The last time two no-hitters were that close together, Justin Verlander and Francisco Liriano back in 2011. They did it on May 7th and May 11th. What a start to the baseball season. Tim McMaster here along with James Fegan, our White Sox reporter at The Athletic. James, Rodon took a perfect game into the ninth and he hit Roberto Perez. What made him so effective in this game to get this done?
He was throwing strikes, would be the simple way to say it. He didn't strike out anybody in the first three innings. The White Sox had a huge offensive bottom of the first, knowing that Cleveland's weak offensively, kind of put things out of reach really early. And for the first few innings, it just seemed like Rodon was going to pitching like a pitcher should when they have a big lead. I'm going to challenge hitters, you know, have them put the ball in play early. Let's get quick outs and go home. Even listening to him describe it, the dominant turn from him didn't even start until maybe the fourth. He falls behind 3-0 to Jordan Luplo, kind of a lefty masher in the Cleveland lineup, and he kind of decides not to give in. He just powers, three fastballs right down the heart, but, it's a cold night. His velo had been down a little bit. Everyone's velo had been down a little bit. It being 40 degrees and windy, and he just starts powering up. The first fastball is 94. The next is 95. The next is 96. And this is a well that Carlos Rodon could not collect from the last few years. Shoulder surgery, Tommy John, you saw his velocity dip to a point where he could start out games sitting 88. And this is a guy who had hit 99 when he was first called up as a youngster. All of a sudden, that's back to him now. And really, for a pitcher who's famous for his slider, he didn't have the best feel for it, as you would see later in the night. He really got by throwing his third pitch a lot, his changeup. And really, when he needed it, when he wanted to get it out, when he wanted to kind of overpower people to keep this going, he had 96+. He hit 98.8 on the gun in the ninth inning on his 110th pitch. He just had this reserve of velocity, of gas that he was able to turn to, and just the pure power of his arsenal was able to get him through moments. As true with probably every no-hitter, the opposing offense was not having a good night. Right. But the moments where, perfection might have eluded him, he was able to kind of reach back and find another level.
And it was the slider that made perfection, I guess, elude him, as that's what he hit Perez with in the ninth. You think about Rodon overall. You mentioned the Tommy John surgery, non-tendered at the end of last season. He comes back, re-signs with the White Sox, and now this. It's been quite a journey for a guy who was a top three pick in the draft.
Yeah, I found the quote from 2 years ago when we were talking to him right after Tommy John surgery, and he kind of put in blunt terms about whether he'd even pitched again. He said, hey, the shoulder surgery I had 2 years ago, I was only given a 75% chance of coming back from that. And the Tommy John rate's 92. So things are looking pretty good. but even after that, last year you saw a little bit of, the velocity coming back, but he was very ineffective. He got thrown in these relief situations that were very ill suited to him last season. The last time he faced Cleveland, he faced three hitters and got nobody out and gave up a bases clearing double to Jose Ramirez and essentially lost that game and, made two more appearances the rest of the season and wasn't very effective. And you thought that was it for him, especially in the White Sox organization. And frankly, you thought it's the mutual benefit of everybody. The White Sox weren't going to give him an arbitration raise, and Rodon didn't seem like he was finding it in Chicago, that he should go somewhere else and get a fresh pair of eyes and maybe see if they could figure something out in his delivery, or, you know, if he'd be accustomed to a bullpen role somewhere else. He wound up getting fresh eyes in Chicago because when they hired a new pitching coach in Ethan Katz in October, Rodon started working with him immediately. And that was before he knew what his future with the organization was. He was working so much with Ethan Katz that they kind of had to stop in December when Rodon was non-tendered, because they realized, like, oh, hey, wait, I'm technically not part of the team anymore. But so once he signs his deal, I want to say in late January, early February, to kind of come back for 1 year, purely a make good, see if you still got it, you're going to compete for the fifth starter slot, you're not guaranteed it type of contract, you started right back up with his work with Katz, and you saw the product of it immediately in spring. He was lights out in spring training. You know, as much as every spring training stat is meaningless and you can't read stuff off of playing against games of B-leaguers, you can't completely ignore it, because this was the guy Carlos Rodon was for all of Cactus League. He absolutely could power his fastball by everybody, and everything, every other pitch he had played up off of it from having that again. And, you know, we got warned that this guy was back, and, you know, he proved it again Wednesday night.
It's a White Sox team, obviously, with big expectations coming into the season, not necessarily with Rodon being this, obviously, definitely not with him being this. So what does this mean for this team going forward, trying to win the Central and get back into the playoffs, if Rodon is going to be this type of pitcher?
I mean, it's very big. At least in the early going, they've been on their bullpen a lot. You know, I think Lucas Giolito going seven innings the other night before Rodon was just their second start longer than six all season. You know, give it the fact that Dylan Cease is kind of still rounding in the shape, or just a bad defense behind him kind of shortening outings, or Dallas Keuchel still searching for his form. They haven't really gotten the long starts that they anticipated when they built that big three with Giolito, Keuchel, and Lynn at the top of the rotation. To have really any other contributions of it, well, the depth of the rotation was probably one of their biggest question marks for the entire season. If there's even this firm of answer from one slot, that's a big difference maker. That's something where, you know, come playoff time, you don't have to think of the rotation being a three-man unit anymore. You can start thinking about whether Rodon is someone who's just as vital to get into a playoff series as a start as anyone else. As he'd be the first one to say, this was the second start of the year. His big goal is to make 30, to have that kind of consistency and health that he hasn't had at any point of his career. And there's still stuff yet to prove. But I think you can't eliminate the ceiling of a guy who was picked third overall as something that comes into play anymore. He's shown you that it's there. And he's shown you it's there in a real situation, not just spring training.
Now it's just showing it over a full season. Great stuff, James. Thanks for joining our breaking news coverage. Go to the Athletic's new headlines section for much more on this story. To get access to all of the Athletic's great sports content, including all of James's great writing, visit theathletic.com/headlinepod, where you can join for just $3.99 per month. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.